The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Can people still be saved during the tribulation period? If so, how does it work? Is it still by faith alone? Or do works play a part? What about the mark of the beast? Some interesting biblical discussion ahead, and thank you for joining us today on Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Please go to our website, faithalone.org, to find out more about us. You can read our daily blogs there, and you can find thousands of articles which we've written in respect to our free grace position. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
We got a question from Barry here, and he asks a very interesting question. What does the Bible discuss about salvation during the tribulation? And he'd like us to align that with what you need to do to be saved now and in the Old Testament. And in particular, he's asking about the tribulation because of the dooming nature of taking the mark in Revelation 14. And that seems like some people wrongly understand tribulation salvation under, and that these individuals are under law. And, you know, I've seen that on YouTube. There's some people saying that actually in the tribulation, you're saved by works and not by just faith alone in Christ alone.
Well, good question, Barry, and let's start with the tribulation. What I would suggest, and this kind of covers all of yours, salvation has always been by grace, through faith, apart from works. It's never been by anything other than faith in Messiah, faith in Christ. It's always been apart from works. That was true in Genesis 3:15, Genesis 14:6. And it was true in the entire Old Testament, and it's true during the church age. It's going to be true during the tribulation when the church is gone, and it'll be true during the millennium as well. Now, in terms of the tribulation, there is a unique feature that has never been in play at any other point in the history of mankind, and that is there's going to be a special mark, which if people take this mark, they will no longer be able to come to faith. They will be sealed in unbelief, and their hearts will be hardened, and they will not come to faith. And that's in Revelation 14, as Barry says. But that's different than saying in order to be born again, they must do works, or they must persevere, or whatever. Once a person believes in Christ during the tribulation, they will have what the Bible calls everlasting life. And they will never perish. I taught one year at Multnomah School of the Bible, and I was debating a friend on the faculty on Lordship Salvation. And he pointed to this, and he said, so would you agree then that during the tribulation, no believer will take the mark of the beast? And I said, right. Because he said, if they took the mark of the beast, then they would be condemned. But they can't be condemned, right? And
right.
I said, right. And so he said, so they can't take the mark, right? And I said, right.
Right.
So he said, so you agree during the tribulation there will be at least limited perseverance of the saints, right?
Right.
And I was like, well, kind of. Afterwards, I thought about it, and I came up with what I thought was a better answer, which is that during the tribulation, if a believer was considering taking the mark of the beast, God will stop him.
Right.
One way God will stop him is by having other people talk to him and pray for him and talk him out of it.
Yeah.
Another way would be God convicting the person through the work of the Spirit, that just convicting him directly, and the person will be responsive. But surely there's going to be believers during the tribulation who would consider taking the mark of the beast and would be open to it and aren't going to be responsive.
Yeah.
And in those cases, in my opinion, what God will do is take their life before that happens, or will providentially hinder them until they change their mind.
Yeah.
But God's not going to allow them to take the mark.
Yeah.
Now, there is a view which some people hold, which is if a believer actually took the mark, they would still be eternally secure, because what Revelation 14 is talking about is the unbelievers who take the mark.
Ah.
I think it's more likely to say anybody who takes that mark is going to be condemned,
yeah,
and that believers just won't do that. It doesn't mean they're not going to be tempted to do it, yeah. but if they were, God will simply take their lives. And that's no big surprise. I mean,
yeah.
Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus chapter 10, God took their lives when yeah. they were offering up strange fire at yeah. the beginning of the law of Moses. And at the beginning of the church age, in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira die when they're trying to impress people with how much money they gave for land, when they're lying about the amount they received from the land.
Well, I guess this is one area where believers at the time will have a promise that this will not happen to you, right? Or God will do something to prevent you from taking this
right.
mark.
Right. Yeah.
But this is very different from saying God promises a lifetime of obedience that's always trending up and
right.
you're going to finish well. And, you know, that's reading a lot more into just a specific promise of one specific good work. Really.
Right.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
Now, we do have something else. I don't know if you've thought about this, Mike,
yeah.
but Jesus said to the 12, with what he said not applying to Judas because he was the unbeliever, but Matthias took his place. But he said, you're going to sit on 12 thrones and rule over the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
This was a promise. Therefore, those 12 were guaranteed they were going to persevere.
Yeah.
Unlike Paul, who in 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, I discipline my body
yeah.
and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others about the judgment seat of Christ, I might be disapproved,
right.
adokimos. Peter couldn't say that because Peter knew he was going to persevere, and John knew he was going to persevere, and James knew he was going to persevere, and Thomas, they all knew they were going to persevere because
yeah.
they, of all people in church history, had a promise they would persevere.
Right.
But nobody else has that promise,
yeah.
right?
Right.
And in the tribulation, yes, they know that they're not going to be taking the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
Well, they may or may not know that because it depends if they're going to know all of the book of Revelation
yeah.
or not. But
yeah.
if they know the book of Revelation, which I assume they should and would,
yeah.
then they would know that they're not going to be taking that mark. And if they were to go in that direction, they're going to start having chest pain.
yeah, God will make sure they don't take it and take them home early.
yeah. Well, of course, he could stop them with something short of taking their life, right?
Yeah.
Like they could have chest pains and fall to the ground and
right.
go, Lord, maybe is this a sign, right? Or he could cause them to get very sick, and then while they were sick, they're going to come around.
Yeah.
But if necessary, God could take their life. And Barry also asks about now. Well, of course, now there's no guarantee of perseverance except mm-hmm. for the 12.
Yeah.
But there is the guarantee of everlasting life for every believer, and it's always by grace through faith.
Yeah.
And in the Old Testament, it was always by faith. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman is
mm-hmm.
the one they're putting their faith in. The
right.
seed of the woman is the Messiah. And he's going to have victory over the seed of the serpent, which is Satan.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that was looking at the cross, although Old Testament saints probably didn't grasp that. But they
yeah.
did grasp that Messiah was going to give them victory and everlasting life. And in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and he reckoned to him as righteousness.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're told in John 8:56, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
Yes.
And if you read Hebrews 11, all of these Old Testament characters were looking forward to eternal reward. You can't be looking forward to eternal reward unless you know your destiny is secure.
Yeah, you can't look for rewards into the kingdom unless you know you're going to be there.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed, Mike, when people preach lordship salvation or work salvation, they almost never talk about eternal rewards? And the reason is,
yeah.
why would you be concerned about eternal rewards if you don't know where you're going?
Yeah. Why worry about rewards when you're not going to even be there to enjoy anything at all?
Right.
Yeah.
Especially if you think that everlasting life itself is a reward.
Yes.
In the book, The Race Set Before Us by Schreiner and Cannaday, they say that everlasting life is the prize we're striving to win.
Yeah. And then I guess going back to the tribulation, the promises of everlasting life to all who believe in Jesus, those continue to apply to all the tribulation. And like you said, also even the millennium.
Right. In Revelation 22:17, anyone who wishes, let him take the water of life freely or without cost. There's basically the message of John 4, what Jesus told the woman at the well in the book of Revelation. Right. And yes, that's true in the millennium as well. There are going to be people in the millennium in natural bodies. In fact, I don't know how many, but if I had to guess, I would say by the end of the millennium, the world population will probably be 10 times what it is today, 70 billion maybe. It's going to be a ginormous population, and almost all of those people are going to be people in natural bodies.
Right.
We who are in glorified bodies will be walking among them, ruling over them if we were overcomers in this life, and we will have opportunities to evangelize them and to disciple them, etc. But the truth is, these people are going to come to life if they believe in Christ.
Right.
And they're not if they don't.
Yeah.
And you would think, of course, during the millennium, 100% of the people would be born again, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they can see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They can hear him.
Yeah. Definitely easier to believe. But again, there will be a population who doesn't believe.
And how do we know that?
Well, you have the rebellion at the end of the millennium.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At the end of Satan's going to be released. He will be bound for the 1,000 years, which also makes belief easier, right?
Right.
But even then, when he's released, he's going to have people on earth who follow him.
Right.
So there will be unbelievers during the millennium. Now, I think it will be a small percentage. In fact, this is a funny thing. Matthew 7:13-14, the way is narrow that leads to life and few find it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that that's going to be true in the millennium.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still, the way will still be narrow, but I wonder if many will find it during the millennium.
Yeah.
Because I think Jesus is talking about the time he's ministering, and he's talking about the church age, and certainly the tribulation. But I wonder if that's true in the millennium. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe a minority of people will come to faith during the millennium, but... Yeah.
It could be, for once in human history, the majority actually is right.
Yeah, it could, it could be, right?
Right.
We don't know. We aren't told the exact number of people who are rebelling at the end of the millennium, but it's a significant number.
Right.
Well, thank you, Barry. Great question. Remember that salvation has always been the same. It's always the gift of everlasting life to those who believe in Christ. And keep grace
in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our next episode, a discussion about eternal conscious torment in hell. What is this? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.